Micah chapter 4, I want to read verse 2. And many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. This, of course, is speaking of a time primarily in the future, and it's talking specifically about Israel and the Lord's return in power and glory and all this dealing with the millennium and other things like that. But it talks about how that the people will say, come, let us go up into the mountain of the Lord, and notice where they're going. And to the house of the God of Jacob. And they're going for a reason. And he will teach us his ways. And it's going to have an effect. And we will walk in his paths. And it's going to accomplish something more than just in their lives. It says, for the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. I want to try to preach this morning. Now, I'm going to tell you what I'm preaching on, but don't get nervous. I'll explain it in a little while. Here's my fault. Dear Christian, please leave the church. Hold on. Lock the doors until I get myself explained. Dear Christian, please leave the church. God has ordained the church. Even in the Old Testament, we find God talking about to his people, come, come and meet with me. He has always had a place where his people can meet. Even Adam and Eve had, I believe, a specific place where God would meet them in the garden. Through the Old Testament, we find the tabernacle and then later the temple. The early church met in people's homes, but they were meeting together. Later, they built buildings like we're in this morning. And these buildings, these places, were more than just a Lions Club or the Moose Lodge. It was a place where God's people could meet. We find the word church 77 times in the New Testament. The person who can say that I can worship the Lord and be right with him and not be a part of a church is mistaken. The person that can say that I worship God when I get out in nature, now that's true, they can. But to say that they do that because they don't want to go to church, they are in error. God ordained the church and he works in the church, but he also works through the church. Now, I want to mention this morning that in this verse, I believe we see that we should love the church. I believe God is saying in this verse, even though he's not talking about a New Testament church, I believe he is saying, please love. Notice what it says. They will say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob. There is some excitement in these words. There is excitement in their voice. They are not saying, oh, no, it's Sunday morning already. It's time to go back again. Revival again. We just had one 5 years ago. They are excited about going because they love that place. They love the house of God. That's why David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. He said, I am thrilled when I get to go to God's house. And those who love the house of God, love the church, want to go and are excited about going. Now, does that mean we always feel like going? Of course not. There's times, by the way, I'm the pastor, there's times I don't feel like getting out of bed and coming either, but hopefully I will. There are times that we are confronted with the fact of where I'm going or not, but no doubt if we love the church, we'll come when we can, and when sometimes we don't feel like it. I believe with all my heart that the church is the cherry on top to Life Sunday. We get to come to church. We don't have to come to church. We get to come. And if we love it, we are going to pray for it. That's how we can love the church. How can we show our love for the church? Our prayer. Oh, how we ought to pray for the churches of our day. They are struggling. They are fighting. There's opposition. There's trouble. There's trials through all the world. And it's affecting the church and the Christian. And so many times we fail to pray. Oh, we need to pray for our church. We can show our love for the church by our prayer, but also by our presence. They said, let's go to the house of God, and coming makes a difference. You have no idea how you being here this morning helps this church and helps this preacher. And when you aren't here, you have no idea how it affects them and me. We need to realize the importance of being in church. We can show our love by our prayer and by our presence and by our participation. There's some people here this morning who have done some things that this church building might operate and that we might have a service this morning. There's been singing and playing and getting things ready and offerings being taken and all this being done. There's somebody who had to do that. And a part of showing our love for the church is participating. I believe also we can show our love for the church by protecting the church. Oh, the church is under attack today like never before. The devil hates the church, and I believe he's got an inroad in now to where he's doing his best to destroy every church, defeat every Christian that he can. And we as God's people, and surely as people of True Gospel Baptist Church, ought to do all we can to protect this church. Boy, I'll tell you what, we need to do what we can to be the Christian we should be and the church member we should be. I believe God is saying in this verse, please love my house. But I believe he also is saying, please listen. Do you hear what he says? Come and let us go up into the house of the mountain of the Lord, into the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us. He will teach us. When we come to church, God has something to say. He is trying to speak to our heart. I tell you what, there's so much trouble out there. There's so many problems out there. There's so much opposition out there to where when we come to the house of God, we need to hear from heaven and see what he says and listen to him. It's not just a preacher. It's not just a singer. It's not just music. It's God working to speak to our hearts and to help us and to show us what we need to say. He can help us when we come to church if we listen. And he wants us to listen. He wants to give us help. He wants to give you an answer to that question. He wants to give you strength in your weakness. He wants to direct your life and mind. He wants to help us to love him more, love others more. And when we come to church, he can help us to do that. He'll try to teach us how to help our family. He'll try and teach us how to live in this rotten world. He'll try and help us to get the grace that we need. And when we come to the house of God, he's trying to speak to us. And he's trying to help us. And we need to listen. I say this morning, God says, I believe in this verse, please love, please listen. I believe he also says, please labor. Notice what it says. We will walk in his paths. We will walk in his paths. You know what that's saying? We will do what he tells us to do. And we will do what he has done. We will walk in his paths. We will follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. I believe he says here in the house of God to those who are here, and when we leave especially, as I'm going to say in a few minutes, we need to labor for the Lord. You know what? There's something God wants you to do. There's something God has equipped you to do. Oh, listen, you may not hold an office. You don't have to hold an office. You don't have to have a position in the church to do something. By the way, there's only so many offices. There's so many positions that a church can have. And you may have one and you may not. That does not matter or should not matter. What matters is, are you saved? And has God called you or drawn you or equipped you for something? Yes, if you're saved. And he's got something he wants you to do. There's a job to be done for every person here. You can be faithful, number one. That's good. You can pray, number two. And I can hear people in your mind already say, yeah, anybody can pray. Well, I got two news for you. Prayer sure is important. We can't survive without prayer because we can't survive without him. And we won't have his power and we won't have his touch unless somebody gets a hold of him. One of the greatest ministries, the greatest ways to labor and serve our Lord is to be a prayer warrior, to get a hold of heaven and bring heaven down. Oh my, how we need that. And every person here can do that if you're saved. We need to labor. I believe he says, please labor, do something, do what I want you to do in the house of God and outside of the house of God. I believe he's saying, this is still the introduction, I guess maybe you can tell that, I ain't got to the message yet. Please love and please listen and please labor. I believe he also says to those who are in the house of God, please learn. Notice what it says. He will teach us his ways. He will teach us his ways. Now, I touched on that already with listen, but this is more specific. He will teach, could I say it, me the way I need to go. I tell you what, that helps me. That helps me because I know how dumb I am. Now, I know you think I'm brilliant. And I know you think I know everything, but I don't. And all I know about me is I am so dumb, I don't know how to get up in the morning. I don't know how to do anything for the things of God. And neither do you, but he does. And he wants to teach us. He wants us to learn his ways and do his will. And he brings us a church to where he can teach us, where we can learn. That's one reason why I labor over the scripture so much and sometimes do teaching and try to give us things that may not be easy to accept, because the Lord wants us to learn some things. He wants to teach us some things. We are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We need to know what God said, and we need to know God's will for our lives. We know the Bible, I hope, to a point. But I need to know, how do I live this Bible in my life? What does God want me to do? We need to learn, number one, about the Bible and what it says and what it means by what it says. But we need to learn about our God. I was praying this morning. I'll be glad when things cool down a little bit. It's kind of too hot to go out there in the woods and pray. So I've been praying in the house, and I'm telling the truth, I miss the woods, but I'm telling you, it's hard to go out there and perspire while you're praying. But I'll tell you one thing, getting in touch with the Lord. And there, just a few minutes ago, I thought, boy, this is how you do it. This is the way, because I just got on my knees and started praying again. And it's like the Lord just moved into the room, and all of a sudden things started feeling different, seeming different, even though they weren't different. And that's what prayer will do. And that's what I'm saying, getting in touch with God. That's my point. Oh, I focused on him. And when I started seeing him, all the big problems and all the impossibilities somehow didn't seem near as big or near as impossible We need to learn about Him. You have a God you can trust. You have a God who loves you. You have a God who's in power. And we need to learn that and accept that and believe that. And we can do that by coming to church. He said, will you please learn? He wants us to learn about the Bible and learn about Him. But He wants us to learn about ourselves. And that part I'm not thrilled about, but I need to know it. We need to know about ourselves. Most of us, I say most of us, that includes me. I'm part of us. Most of us don't even realize the kind of person we really are. Most of us don't see ourselves as we are. It's easy to see things in others' lives and so difficult to see it in our own. It's easy where we see others failing and we somehow miss the fact that we also are failing. It's easy to see others in need, but it's so hard to find that we are in need also. We need to learn about ourselves and we need to learn how to live in a problem-filled life. Have you noticed? I don't guess you have. But things are getting worse. Could I just tell you a secret? Things are getting bad. In fact, things are getting real bad. And if we're going to live right in a real bad world, we need to learn how from God. And you can learn that by coming to church. That's why He said, please learn. Learn something. You need it out there. You need it. You're going back out in just a few minutes. Boy, you need God's grace, and so do I, to handle all that's out there. And He brings us in to where we can learn how to love Him and walk with Him and handle the problems of life. And I have finally gotten close to my message. I've said that we need to love and listen and labor and learn. And one of my points is that we need to learn how to live for Him. But I want to ask you a question. Live for Him where? In here? I hope so. But you know good and well, most of us are at our best behavior when we come to church. Right? And, well, I started to say that. That's the way it ought to be. I don't guess it should be. But we ought to behave when we come to church. But I am convinced that one of the reasons, and maybe the primary reason, that God established a church and God established a temple and God established a tabernacle was where His people could come together and get help to go back out. And there is my message, He says to the church, to the people who know Him. Please love, please listen, please labor, please learn, and please leave. It's exactly what He says. Notice, for the law shall go forth of Zion. He is saying you come together, you get help, and then you go out. And therein is my statement, please leave the church. I ain't asking you to get mad and leave. Please don't. But I am saying most of our service should be out there and not in here. Now, we do serve the Lord in here. I am doing that right now by preaching. You have done that by playing and singing and participating, and even by coming to a degree. But our real service, our predominant service for the Lord, is when we leave the church and go out. Acts 8:4. They that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. They were scattered abroad. They left the church. They left Jerusalem. They, in essence, they ran because of persecution. But when they had to flee to live, they did not go out and just blend in. Just settled down. Just stayed quiet. Played dead. They went out preaching the gospel. They went out living the word. They went out serving. They went out living. They left the church and they went out to serve. And that's what I'm saying this morning, that I believe the Lord wants us to give. We do most of our service outside. What does the Bible say? Jesus said, thou shalt love thy neighbor. Now, you can have a neighbor inside the church, but our neighbor implies somebody outside of the church. And he said we are to love those who are out there. And we are to demonstrate our love by how we live around them and how we treat them. Our service is out there. The Bible says, let us walk honestly. Now, that's not inside the church. That's out there. The book of Romans, Romans 12, the Lord said, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, surely that can be inside the church, but it's predominantly outside of the church. He wants a body he can work through. He wants a person he can work through. He wants a person he can use out there. Out there. I say again, please, Christian, leave the church. Leave this church this morning realizing you're representing God. And your service and your life and your words and your reactions out there matter. Romans 12, 6, having then giving gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us. He says every believer has a gift or more than one. A spiritual gift. It's more than a talent. You can use your talents for the Lord. If you can sing, play. That's using a talent for the Lord. But our gifts are those things it talks about in 1 Corinthians and others like Romans and Galatians chapter 4. Those divine gifts, those specific abilities that God has given to every believer that he might use them and work through them in the church, sure, but outside of the church primarily. Our service is out there. Our Christian service matters inside. See, we come into worship, but we go out to serve. And those who come in need to be preparing for going out. You know, there used to be a saying, we talk about it, that we come in to get out. Well, I don't like that usually, but in what I'm preaching this morning, that's exactly what I'm saying. We need to come in so we can go out. We need to leave the church. We need to go out of this church knowing I am a Christian. What I do matters. How I talk matters. How I act matters. What people see in me does matter. Now, I'll just say this. If you don't come here, you can't get much help for going out there. You see, we carry our church with us. But more importantly, we carry our Lord with us. You ever heard, well, if he's a Christian, I don't want to be a Christian. If she's a member of that church, I don't want anything to do with that church. You know why? Because people associate you with your church and you with the Lord and me too. And if our lives do not prove that we are a Christian, if our lives are not Christ-like, they associate everything in our lives, including our church, including our Lord, with our lives. So how can we leave the church? Well, I don't have time to preach it, but I'll peck on a little bit and maybe finish later. I hear you. You're saying, oh, no, we got to hear more of this. I guess we'll find out. I'm talking this morning about, please, Christian, leave the church. Go out of the church realizing you're a Christian out there and it matters. How should we leave our church? Well, I think first we should consider our prayer. And I have talked about prayer already twice this morning, at least in this message. But most of what we talk about as far as prayer, we associate with the church. But we need to realize there's a lost and dying world out there that somebody needs to pray for. If the Lord doesn't get to them, they will go to hell. And it is our responsibility and ought to be our burden. It ought to be our desire and our willingness to pray for them. I've told you before, I got a friend that's in Oregon right now. He got caught back when we was teenagers with some pot. Instead of going to trial and going to prison, he ran. He's been out there ever since, 40-some years. He is still lost. I talked to him about 4 or 5 years ago, and I talked to him about church, and I could hear, boy, it just got crystal cold with the conversation over the phone. Didn't want to hear it. I cannot go to him. I don't even know his address, don't know his phone number, but I know one thing. I can pray for him. And I may not be able to go to him, but I can pray for him. I got two old buddies. I could throw a rock at their house and hit it from my house. And you know I've talked about it before. And they, hey, I'm telling you, their response to my witness has been embarrassing. How they curse back at me. Now, probably what I've said and what I can say will have very little effect, because I've said everything I know to say. But I can pray for them. And that lost loved one you're concerned about, I hope, you can't change them, you can't convince them, you can't make them get saved, but God can make them want to. And we need to realize we have a ministry of prayer for lost souls. But there's a whole lot of hurting people out there. There's a whole lot of people hurting. And they need someone to pray for them. You see, it matters, and it makes a difference. And prayer really does make a difference. It's not just something, some Christian cliche or fairy tale. Prayer really does make a difference. God really does answer prayer. I'm a testimony to that, because God has answered some of my prayers, and God has answered somebody else's prayers on my behalf. So we need to realize, out there, I've got a ministry. I've got a ministry. I am not unimportant. I am not insignificant. I matter. You matter. You've got a ministry out there to pray for those around you. The neighbor, person at work, family member. Pray for them. Our prayer. Why should we pray? Because of the opposition. The devil wants those lost people to go to hell, and if he has his way, they'll go. The devil wants those hurting people miserable, and if he has his way, they'll stay in their misery. The devil doesn't want anything that God has going on in this world. He doesn't want it in the church. He don't want it out there. And that's why we need to pray. There is a lot of opposition. Have you looked at the news lately? If you have, I'm surprised you came in and even smiled at all. It is so depressing. You know why? Because there's a devil. He is opposing this world. He's opposing the church. He's opposing you. He's opposing God's will. He's opposing God's word. And somebody needs to get a hold of God, because he's our only answer. The opposition. There's a whole lot of people who need help. Not only because of opposition, but because of opportunity. You know me already, I just will tell you. All these new people coming into our country, I'm not a fan of that. I'm just not. If that shows that I'm mean or hard or harsh, I'm mean or hard or harsh, I guess. But I have thought about this. And the reason that I'm not really thrilled about it, I'm not thrilled about them coming and taking our jobs and the government paying for stuff that they don't do for a citizen. I'm not thrilled about that. But the main thing is they're bringing their religions into our country. And our country is founded on freedom of speech, and they have the right to speak. They have a right, just as much as a Christian does, to tell others about what they believe. But what they believe is sending people to hell. And my concern is they're bringing that junk in, and our country's already in bad enough shape spiritually, and I'm afraid it's going to make us worse as a country. Unless somebody prays that instead of them changing us, we change them. The gospel reaches them. Because of the opportunity, there's a whole lot of people lost. There's a whole lot of people hurting, and it's a great door of opportunity if we'll pray. If we'll pray. To us, it seems so big, and it is. We're talking about the whole country and the whole world, and it's big to me, but it's not to God. We need to pray out there, pray because of the opposition, but also because of the opportunity, and then thirdly, because of the outcome. Some of them will get saved. Some of them that are hurting will get helped. Some lives will be changed. Some people will be healed. Some families will be put back together. Oh, I'm telling you what, it's dark out there. There's no doubt, and the light needs to shine. But I'm telling you, God's light does work. So leave the church. We should consider our prayer. Let me throw this in, and I'm done. We should consider our personality. I've talked about we come together to get help, but we go out to serve. And one of the most important things of our daily walk is our personality. How kind we are, how compassionate we are. If we say we're a Christian, we ought to act like it. We could witness to everything that moves, but if we're grouchy, who's going to listen? We're trying to tell them that they need what we have. I got a question. What does it appear that we have by the way we act? Our personality is so important. How can you convince a lost person that Christian life is joy and peace, and we're so critical and so hard and so, I mean, listen, it's a bad commercial. Would you buy a product if it came on there and said, whatever your problem is, I just want to tell you right now, this product will make it worse. Send me $9.95 and I promise you it'll get worse. Well, who's going to buy it? Or if it's somebody that's on the program and they say, you take this pill and you'll be happy. And they're saying, if you take this pill, it sure make you happy like me. You think you're going to buy it? I hope you don't. If you do, I got some pills for you to buy. Our personality. Out there, the devil will try to ruin our personality and our character and the way we act and the way we react more than anywhere else. I wonder how many Christians are involved with a road rage and drive-through rage. McDonald's didn't put but two pickles on my hamburger. We need to make sure that we're careful about our personality. We need to make sure that we are not disagreeable, not irritable, not touchy. And I tell you what, you're going to need God's grace to do that. And so will I. We should not be the kind that's always complaining about everything. Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not saying you're not supposed to complain. If you buy a brand new car and it's a lemon, you ought to call them up or take it back and in a polite Christian way say, this is a piece of junk. I mean, there's times you need to complain. But I'm talking about complaining about everything, being negative about everything. If that bunch at work talk about the boss, you ought to be quiet. We ought to be different. We ought to be different than the world. We should watch our personality. We should be good-natured, likable, friendly, polite, well-mannered, respectful. There ought to be something different about the personality of a Christian because they're gauging our God and our church by how we act and how we react. Now, I hadn't really even got to what I want to preach, but I got to quit because it's Baptist quitting time. We're concerned about inside, and boy, we ought to be. Man, the devil's after the church. The devil's after the church. You'd have to be blind to not see that. But out there, I'm afraid he has most of us defeated or in the dark. Our service is out there. Our lives matter. There's a congregation of people out there watching us, listening to us, gauging us, testing us, and seeing, is there God, really God? Do I need what they have? Do I want what they have? Oh, that's important. Please, Christian, leave the church and serve Him. Let's stand together. Thank you for listening. You've been very patient.